all of my kids have always worked. One of my kids started working when he was 14, but the other one started at 15. The other one started at 16. But, you know, I highly encourage that too. I mean, they were still participating in activities, still going to church, still doing their homeschooling, but they were also working. And I think what you touched on, teaching them financial principles in the home, teaching them how to budget, to give, to save, to spend, you know, what that looks like, because those are things that in school, they're not really taught those things. They're not really taught how to budget, how to play it. You know, we're teaching algebra and we're teaching geometry and all these things, but can you teach me how to budget? Can you teach me what it looks like to have these different bills and what it looks, what is debt? How do I avoid debt? What do I need to do in case I fall into debt? You know, what does it look like to adult, basically, adulting 101? Things that can prepare them outside of the scope of school and once they move out of the parents' home. And I think that is so important to be able to have a job so they can be able to manage money and see where money comes from. Money doesn't just come from mom and dad. Money comes from working hard.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline, or Jax Kreider. And today we have Miss Angela on with us. She is, an expert on all things homeschool. She knows so much about just the educational space. And so we are super excited to have some more conversations kind of surrounding just education, because let's be real, it can cost a lot. It can be very confusing. And so we're excited to have her on. So welcome, Angela. Tell us a little bit more, the audience, about who you are and why you're excited to be on today.
Thanks, Jax. Thanks so much for having me on the podcast. And I am truly very excited to be on the podcast, to be able to share with people about homeschooling. For me, as a mom of five, I've homeschooled all five of our kids for over 22 years. And we have finally graduated our fifth and final student last week. And we're super excited about that. Over 22 years of homeschooling, God has moved me into the direction of being a homeschool consultant with God's Purpose in Action. I am the founder of God's Purpose in Action, an opportunity to do homeschool consulting, and I be able to help other people on their homeschool journeys. That is my new mission.
I love that. Well, and I mean, man, homeschooling, like, let's just be real. In general, there's so much turmoil happening right now with education in general, right? Like, there's, I know at least in Texas specifically, there's been this argument on whether we do the voucher program where, you know, now people have options and if they want to go to like private schools or whatever. And then we have in a lot of areas, at least in Texas, but I know pretty much nationwide, there are some of these options where there's like magnet schools and things that like kids can test to get into, that some of them are covered by districts. I mean, we have so many different options. And I actually have never been homeschooled, but I do have a unique position there because so I spent kindergarten through ninth grade going to regular public school in Plano, Texas, which is arguably one of the better school systems in the whole Texas state. And then from my sophomore year through my senior year, I actually went to Trinity Christian Academy. And so I went to private school. Very different experiences, obviously very different costs, right? My parents were practically paying a college tuition to send me to private school. And so I think, you know, when you're talking about Financial Mastery Simplified, and as a parent, you're trying to make decisions about what do we do for our kids, not only when they're little, right? Like, but also as they are going on to a higher level education, potentially, like, what does all this look like? How do we navigate it? So I'm excited even for myself to hear a little bit more about homeschooling, like cost, how difficult it is. Because I think a lot of parents shy away from it. Because let's be real, during COVID, everybody got to be a homeschooling parent, whether they wanted to be one or not. Yes. And so then they were like, oh, dear God, I do not want to do this. I definitely think homeschooling is a lot different than probably when you and I were coming up, right? That was kind of a weird thing for a minute right? Like, kids are not going to have social acceptance. It's going to be awful. And that's totally not true. So talk to us a little bit about like what that even looks like.
Yeah, you know, this is not your mama's whole homeschool year, you know what I mean? And so homeschooling, I've been homeschooling before homeschooling was cool. And I absolutely love it because people always do go to that socialization question. And homeschoolers are actually, in my opinion, you're going to be whoever you are. And so I, sure. with my kids, I have 5 kids and they all have different personalities and some are more extrovert and some are more introvert. And so I know people who go to public schools and some are more extrovert and some are more introvert. And so you're really going to be whoever you are, wherever you are. But I think that we can cultivate an environment where homeschoolers can have an opportunity to have more social experiences. And you can do that through a number of different ways, whether that's through outside sports activities. And in my opinion, especially here in Texas, we have so many different opportunities for homeschoolers. There are homeschool associations for athletics. There are homeschool opportunities for speech and debate. There are homeschool opportunities for honors clubs. So many different things that are available to us that we can partake of. And using homeschool co-ops is a great way to get education as well as socialization. And then with homeschooling, you also have an opportunity to start your own whatever it is. Whatever, I'll take for instance, my son was interested in chess. There wasn't a chess club. And so he decided that he wanted to start a chess club. And who knew? I mean, I'm not a chess player. And I didn't think, in my opinion, I kind of felt like a lot of the people would be more on video games. But as soon as we put the call out for people interested in chess, there were so many homeschoolers that came out and wanted to play chess. And so, yeah, so if you don't have something in your area, you can absolutely start it. And I think that that is an opportunity that sometimes people may shy away from when they're in a public school because they're only looking at what the public school offers. Whereas in homeschooling, we have to make our own opportunities.
Right.
And
yeah,
many times.
Well, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that certain districts, at least in Texas, allow homeschooling kids to be involved in some of their sports programs. And there's certain aspects where like they actually allow them to come into regular school system to do certain types of activities. Maybe they're not coming in for like the actual education type piece, but they are coming in for maybe extracurricular activities. And the reason I say that is that one of my girls' good friends, when they were in the Frisco ISD section, she was actually homeschooled at first and was coming and being involved in some of the programs there. And then eventually she actually chose to start going to regular school with them. But that was something that the school system allowed. And so I think there's a lot more hybrid options than most people realize nowadays. Like I know even...
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny, no matter where you start. Welcome to the Financial Mastery Simplified course and resource platform, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience. Whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge, join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. The Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at the Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform. Start your path to financial independence now.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your home ownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience.
There was a private school in our area, the one that my brother actually graduated from, where they allow like part-time. So like, it's like part homeschooled. And then they go into, they actually come into the school for like 2 or 3 days a week. And they actually have like regular kind of standard education type situation. Right. And so I think it's so cool that now that we have so many different people, personalities, technologies, things like this, there is so many different options for schooling, both paid options and free options, right, that people can be involved with, that people haven't really considered. From a financial aspect, I know obviously there's certain things you have to pay for, right, when it comes to homeschooling. But from my understanding, it's not particularly expensive, is it?
It can be. It actually can be expensive. So I do like the fact that you talked about that there are so many different options, because like you said, we can go into the schools if we choose to, because our tax dollars are paying for the schools. And so we're whether you are partaking of the schools or not, your tax dollars are still paying for the schools. And so I like the fact that we can now participate in sports or different activities. Maybe it's an art class or a PE class, whatever the case may be. If you choose to participate, now you can. And I like that aspect of it. But homeschooling, it can be expensive because you do have to buy all of the resources yourself. I believe legislation has just been passed where now homeschooling will be able to write off a certain amount of expenses. Whereas before, only teachers were able to write off expenses on their taxes. Now homeschoolers will be able to do that. And they have new legislation here in Texas coming out now. It's the ESA, the Education, Scholarship Act, if I'm not mistaken with that. But that will give you basically a voucher and be able to allow you to use some of the funds to be able to purchase curriculum or whatever you deem necessary for the homeschooling experience. And so I like the fact that more funding is being geared toward homeschooling now, because right now, if you don't have that type of funding, everything comes out of pocket. So whether you're having to pay for your co-op or buy curriculum, or you're having to do a science class, all the microscopes, the science kit, whatever those things are, there are a lot of expenses that are associated with it. However, I know for us having five kids, we reuse and recycle a lot of different curriculums, and that has been helpful over the years. But then you also have it, times where those kids, they learn differently. And so what worked for one may not work for another. And so you do have to repurchase in other areas.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I know just because, I don't know, I firmly believe, and part of the reason I started all this podcast and everything to begin with is financial mastery looks different for every single person, and it's their life on their terms, right? Like the choices that they're making as far as education for their children goes, where they live, what kind of decision, like that looks different for every single person, right? I mean, I use the example all the time that my brother and I were raised in the exact same household, and he lives in like 19 or 2000-ish square feet, and my house is 10,000 square feet. And so like, we're just very different people, and there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like what his version of financial success looks like is different than what my version of financial success looks like, right? And I love that even now homeschooling has allowed people to be living worldwide and be moving around and traveling and things like that or whatever, because I have gone back and forth. So for those of you listening, I have a 3.5, almost 4-year-old. And as we sort of, you know, decide what kind of education we want that to look like for her and what the cost is going to be, right? And we're evaluating all these different decisions. One of the things that we have heavily considered is not always living in one particular place, like having a main home base, but going maybe for months at a time to other areas of the world. And homeschooling would allow for that, right? That we could go and live in another country. And what's really cool is there's worldwide homeschooling communities that allow you to plug in. And what I think is extra cool, in my particular opinion, is there are areas where, like, let's say you go to a particular country, they actually help plug you into a local school there where your child can go and learn the language, like right there with the kids that are speaking that language fluently. And what a amazing opportunity for your child to learn a language than to be plugged in to where the kids speak that from birth, pretty much, right? And right. and kind of are grown up in that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, at one point in time, my husband worked from home. We were all homeschooled. I worked from home. And so we're just all home. And I love the fact that we could all be home, but I also love the fact that we could travel with him. And so to your point, we did. We traveled a lot with my husband, and that was really nice. We could just pick up and go and take our homeschool with us. And nowadays, especially with online school, you keep your kids accountable as you travel because there's so many different options. It's not just, you know, someone sitting at a desk at home. A lot of people picture homeschooling as school at home, like they've taken their public school and put it at home. But right. homeschooling, you can design and cultivate an environment that works well for your family. And so if that means traveling, if that means, you know, you going out to experience what you're learning, and not just a regular field trip, but going out into the field, like what you're talking about, going to Australia or being immersed in someone else's culture. I love the fact that homeschooling allows us to have that freedom to be able to choose the way that we are going to educate our children. And it doesn't have to look like everyone else, but there, I know that we do have certain guidelines that we have to abide by. Like, for instance, in Texas, we do have boundaries. We make sure that we're teaching, reading, writing, arithmetic, citizenship, and spelling. And so those are some things. And other states may have different laws that they have to abide by, whether that is sure. making sure that they're taking attendance or making sure that they're reporting their grades and things. But honestly, Texas is the best place to homeschool. I love the freedoms that we have here in Texas to be able to educate our kids the way that we see fit.
Yeah, no, that's so awesome. Well, and I mean, I think the other beautiful part, and this is where financial mastery definitely comes in too, is we are living in a world where there's a lot more neurodivergent people, right? People mm-hmm. who learn differently. And the challenge becomes that if you have a child who is learning differently, does learn differently, school sometimes can be a really hard place for them because they're either way ahead or way behind on certain different aspects. And your alternative, obviously, is something like a Montessori school, which does an amazing mm-hmm. job of, you know, kind of helping place in different subjects and topics your child or whatever, but they also can be particularly expensive. So then sure. you can kind of look at, you know, different kinds of options and choices. Like, mm-hmm. I know that for me particularly, school was hard for a few reasons. As a general rule, I was very far ahead mm-hmm. of most people, but I was a particularly needy reader for a while. It like just took it a long time to kind of click in my head. And so then yeah. once it clicked, man, like I was on it. I loved to read and was reading like crazy. But until that point, it was really difficult, right? And so at the time in Plano ISD, if you did not test a certain level for gifted and talented, like across the board, they just mm-hmm. did not include you in that. And so that was one of those situations where they sort of precluded me from some of those programs because I was struggling in one particular area. Right. As opposed to now, I feel like we're seeing a little bit more option of, you know, kind of not being the one size fits all, I suppose, that school always mm-hmm. was.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. You know, and out of five kids, you know, I'm going to have differences in so many of them. And one of my sons in particular, he was, you know, right out the gate, you know, just very, very gifted. I mean, he graduated with his Associates of Science degree at age 15, was accepted into Baylor University in their honors program for biology at the age of 15. COVID hit and all the things changed in life. But I love the fact that he was able to move ahead. Right. You know, he was able to move ahead whenever he needed to. I was able to see, okay, in this area, he's mastering that. And so I can move him ahead over here. And in this child, I need to slow down over here. So whatever the case may be, I think that when you're homeschooling, it does allow for you to have those differences and celebrate those differences and be able to enhance what you need to enhance whenever someone is struggling. However, if you're advanced in a particular area, just allow them to soar, to be able to fly in that area. And I think that even lends to even as they're graduating, you know, we're talking about graduation season right now. And as they're graduating, everyone doesn't have to go on the same path. Correct. You know, traditionally, you know, we've thought about graduating, going to that 4-year college, and maybe even going on to get a master's degree and even a PhD. But what we've seen here, especially at 2020, people are looking at other ways to be educated and other ways to move on. You know, I always tell my kids, it's not just what you're graduating from, but what are you graduating to? And right. And that's what we really need to be looking at, you know, because people are excited to graduate from a particular college. But what is God really calling you to do in life? And it may not look like the traditional 4-year university. It may not look like, just going into or here's another option. You can go into the military or take a gap year, or you may go to a community college. There are so many other economical and ways to be able to navigate graduating into the next phase of life.
For sure. Well, and I mean, you and I offline have talked a lot about some of that, because I think that quite often we are forcing all of our kids down the same path. And not only that, but I also think that parents very honestly make the mistake a lot of times of trying to pigeonhole their kids into particular buckets that they have in their mind that is like the successful career. But I mean, mm-hmm. this is 2025. And in 2025, there are a lot of jobs that, let's be real, when you and I were young, like that wasn't even a thing, right?
Right.
Like,
for sure.
You couldn't be a YouTube star or whatever. You couldn't make money legitimately that way. And I yeah. have a very good friend, and he makes all of his money from YouTube, like between wow. his channels, helping people master their channels, like all that stuff. Like that is literally his whole job. And
wow.
so that was definitely not a thing, right? Like there's legitimately mm-hmm. people who play video games for a living, right? Is that everybody?
Yes.
No, obviously not. But the fact that exists is crazy to me, because I'll never forget when my girls were telling me about all these jobs and I'm looking at them like, what?
Yeah.
No, you can't do that legitimately yes. for a living. But they were right. Mm-hmm. That
yes.
is stuff that is legitimate. And so, you know, being with what I do for a living, I see so many different career paths. I see so yes. many different options, so many different things that people have chosen. And I think so often as parents, we force our kids into certain buckets, and we really do need to look at all the different options, right? Like when I counsel and kind of mentor a little bit younger people, like there was somebody who, she was a senior in high school, and she was talking to me because I have a law degree, and she was like, oh, I might want to go to law school. And I said, that's awesome. I love that. I said, I highly recommend you look to get an internship or a job in a law firm. See if you like it, right? There's not only
right.
there are lots of kinds of law, but mm-hmm. You know, it isn't necessarily for everybody. And a lot of people have this romanticized idea about, I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor.
Right.
I want to
right.
be, I don't know, whatever they think that makes the most amount of money, right?
Engineers, and architects.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. then they go and they spend all this money on education. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that, but then they don't know what they're going to do with it. They
right.
put themselves into a potential lot of debt or whatever. And had they really put themselves out there and kind of done a little bit more research or done a little bit more due diligence, they would have found mm-hmm. that it really wasn't the fit they were hoping for, right?
For sure, for sure.
And so I encourage people all the time is really dig down deep and like, don't be afraid for yourself. And then also, you know, pushing your kid to ask hard questions, because it's not it's not the same path for everybody.
Right.
You and I, like you have 5 kids. So I have 4, all girls, and my older 3 took wildly different paths when it came to college. They all ended up choosing to go to university, but they took very different paths to get there. Let's just put it that way.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And, my eldest child, he actually went to a university. He did the traditional path. He actually, all of them graduated with their Associate of Science degrees from a local community college. And then he went on to continue on with his Bachelor of Science degree at a university, a local university. And he saved money by staying at home and working alongside of going to school. And so he paid for his own education. And then one of my daughter, she continued to go on to school too. And then she decided that wasn't for her at the time. And then I have another child who has gone on to a trade school. And it wasn't immediate. It was years after he graduated, but he just finished up this month with a electrical lineman degree from a local well, it's actually in Texas, but a technical state college, Texas State Tech Technical College. I think I'm saying that right. Texas State Technical College is where he was going to school. And we can do the trades. The trades are essential, and I think that more people need to look at what a trade looks like, whether it's being a plumber or electrician or any other type of layperson, because those people are the people that are really making this world go round. Whether it's being a welder or whatever the case may be, I think that those trades are worth looking into and they're very lucrative. And I think that a lot of people discount that avenue, but we really could benefit from taking a look at that. As well as
Yes.
entrepreneurship. You talked about that. You're an entrepreneur, I'm an entrepreneur. And people long ago, we didn't think, most people didn't think that they could be an entrepreneur. You had to have some big fancy degree in order to be a business owner. But nowadays, like you said, you pick up a mic and you can be an entrepreneur. Pick up a game controller and you can be an entrepreneur.
For sure.
So I think that it really has changed, and people can look at what it looks like for them to maximize their gifts, their talents, and what they can bring to this world.
Absolutely. Well, and the unique thing too is that I'm very big on education, but I don't necessarily believe that it always has to be standard. I don't always necessarily believe that the traditional method of like pigeonholing everybody into the same bucket. I mean, obviously we have people in society that we need to have the educations. You don't want your engineer, right? Your civil engineer who's designing the bridge that your car is going to drive over to not understand high-level calculus and math, because
Yes.
you don't want your car to be falling off the bridge because the
No.
bridge breaks. Because he didn't get the right kind of education. Like, so yeah, education, super important. But like for instance, I have my own education platform that I've created through Financial Mastery Simplified, another one called House U. Like, these are education platforms where you can learn about, like in my particular case, it's about money and about like how to buy a house, whatever. But there is so much education out there from people who are, this is their area of expertise, right? Who are living in the trenches, who understand it. And you can, some of them are free, some of them are cost, but they're, minimal amount of cost, considering. And so I think so often we have in our minds that there's only really one path. And I just disagree with that, right? And I also agree with potentially taking some time. My oldest, she right out of high school, started going to community college, and she did get her associate's degree there, and then went ahead and got into a university here locally. She started going there, and it just wasn't a fit quite yet. She was kind of struggling to figure out what it needed to look like, and so she stopped going to school for a minute, and she just started working. And through that process, kind of figured out exactly where she wanted to be and where she wanted to go to school and all the things, and then went back, and she just graduated at 27. And so there's not necessarily any right or wrong path. You just have to kind of figure out what works for you if you're the one making those choices, or if you're trying to help guide or shepherd your child, like what are their strengths? Like, right? I jokingly say, I think it is 10 times easier to parent little kids than it is to parent adults, because the adults still need you as a parent, but in a very different kind of way. And our role as parents shift hugely, but they do need us, right? They're looking for that kind of guidance and that help. And it's so important for us to be able to be there, and to be able to shepherd, and to be able to kind of make suggestions. But we do have to take our own opinions and thought processes and biases, I guess, off, right? Take off that kind of hat and look at it through the mm-hmm. alignment of where's your child heading, right? What is their highest yes. and best use? What lights them up inside, because they're going to yeah. be 10 times better at whatever that is than if you're trying to push them down the whatever path that is, right? Mm-hmm. And so there is, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful that we have so many choices and options. But also, let's be real, it can be a little overwhelming too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I love the fact that you said, I started off as a lawyer. I have a law degree, but I mean, as far as I know, I don't think you're practicing law in particular. And so I think we get to love our kids where they are. You know, they may start off on one path and you think this is where they want to go. And it's okay to shift gears, to pivot. And you don't have to, you know, before we kind of went to school for nursing or whatever the case may be. And then you graduate and you stay in that job until you retire. And that's just not the case anymore. People are like, I don't want to do that anymore. I like that. And now I don't want to do that anymore. I want to do something different. And for that sure. is okay to shift gears, to pivot, and to try different things. Because we are multifaceted and we can pursue different passions. I like the fact that you said you're teaching about money, you're teaching about houses, you're mentoring someone over here, you've got this podcast, you've got so many things going on that you're multi-talented, multifaceted, and you're able to serve lots of different people in lots of different ways.
Well, I think a lot of times people just really need to dig in a little bit and figure out kind of like their why. Like my oldest, mm-hmm. we pretty much, I mean, I could have told you that she was going to do something related to art, drawing, something, because literally as a child, we could not go anywhere without her having a sketchbook and a pencil. Yeah, she never yeah. left the house without them. Mm-hmm. Like almost every single birthday, Christmas, it didn't matter what, anytime you were getting her a gift, if you were stuck and you didn't know what to buy her, you bought her a sketchbook and pencils or colored pencils or whatever, because yes. no matter how many times she had gotten those as a gift, she was stoked to get them.
Yeah,
why? Right. Because that was her bent, right? That was her mm-hmm. her heart. Now, she has a field that is very competitive. And this is where maybe a lot of people can say that maybe I'm kind of a jerk, but I had a lot of conversations with her around if that's what she wants to do and that's what she wants to be in animation. I'm all about that, right? Mm-hmm. I just told her she needs to work backwards and understand that that is a fairly competitive field, right? She's going to have to, you know, she's going to come up against some potential adversity there, because there is a lot of competition for the space. And mm-hmm. what is our plan to be able to sustain life, right? And make sure that we can pay bills and that we can live comfortably or whatever while we're trying to pursue this passion. And I think the other piece of that puzzle for us as parents is that conversation, because I'm like, look, I'm all for your dream. And I think that that is what you should do 1,000%. Right. But I also mm-hmm. need you to understand, you know, they have an uncle who is a movie star. Well, for years and years, it took him to get that position, that role. Right. And so in the interim, he had to do a lot of other kind of odd jobs, a lot of, you know, working in service industry, a lot of working in all these other things to get to where he wants to be. And so I basically told her, you have to decide if your dream, if your goal is big enough driver for you, right, to be able to do these other things while we wait. Like, that's mm-hmm. what you have to figure out and decide. And I can't make that choice for you. It's your right. choice to make. You need to be empowered to make those decisions on your own. But I also, it's my job as your parent to set you up for success, to lay out the fundamentals for you so that you can see and understand and make the best choice for you.
Absolutely. I think that that's what a good coach does. You're looking at the long game because they're only seeing what's in front of them. And you're looking at the long game and trying to, like you said, set her up for success. And I think that that is very wise as a parent, but allowing them to make those choices, but kind of almost being like devil's advocate, in the sense of like poking a little bit of holes in their plan a little bit sometimes and say, well, what have you thought about this? Have you considered that? And I think as parents, when we do shift from more of the instructor role to more of a coaching and come on alongside role, I think that's where the magic happens, because now we see things that are in them that they may not recognize in themselves that we can pull out and allow them to be able to say, yeah, I do like that. I am pretty good at that. And then allow them to have the liberty to see which way that's going to go instead of directing them and telling them to go this particular way. Because I, in my experience, that has not ended well for most people. It may start well, but it doesn't end well. Because like you said, they're not satisfied with where they are because they're doing what they were told, not what they really truly want to do.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy to understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today.
Visit us at fms.tips. and fms.college for more information.
Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, House U provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. House U, home ownership made simple for all. Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with House U. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
No, I agree. I think that when it comes to our kiddos, like it's so hard. I mean, let's be real. There's lots of things that are hard in life. It's funny that I had a conversation, a few months back with a woman who actually chose to leave. She was actually a graduate level professor at a Ivy League school. And it's so funny because she and I were having a conversation about what she likes to call the snowplow parent. So we had the era of people where there were the helicopter parents, right, where they were like hovering over. Yeah. And she says, but now we have the snowplow parents, which they're still trying to like snowplow. And if you're listening and you're one of those kind of parents, I'm going to highly encourage you to do what Angela and I are suggesting, which is step back. Try to help your child realize like what their unique value proposition in life is, right? What are their unique God-given talents and helping them hone them? And as opposed to snowplowing things, let them hit the adversity. Because let's be real, adversity is going to come. It's going to come in lots of forms. It's going to come in the form of maybe not having as much money as you want, coming up against somebody who is going to be ignorant and is going to view you differently because of your race, religion, color, creed, whatever that is, right? You're going to come against adversity. Like for me, I was very, very tiny in school. And so I was made fun of and I was teased mercilessly from that aspect, right? Like some kind of adversity is going to be coming and hitting your child. And as a parent, it's super, super hard to watch that adversity. I get that. But it's our job to make sure that like we are preparing them for adulthood, that we're helping them, right, make decisions that are in alignment, but also coming up against that adversity, because they're going to be building their self-esteem, their self-worth, their ability to move past and things like that. And it's crazy to me that I have to say that because I was raised so independently. Like my mom, she raised us so independent. I pretty much could have lived on my own at like the age of 10, but doesn't really matter, right? Like that's just one of those things. So I know I kind of digress off the financial conversation, but I think that it does play a lot into even the kind of jobs that they're going to get. Right? Because they are, employers are looking for those people who are independent. And the financial aspect, I will tie this back in. I highly encourage, and I know some people disagree with me, to force your kids to get some kind of a job while they're still under your roof and under your household and prior to the age of 18, because it does a lot for them. Not only does it help them earn their own money right now, they're learning how to spend it, what it looks like, you know, they're kind of learning financial mastery in their own little way. But two, it gives you the opportunity to have conversations. I'll never forget my girls would come home and they didn't like how this manager handled the situation and gave us opportunity to have some of those conversations about what like good managers versus bad managers look like. How do we navigate that with responsibility and maturity, right? Mm-hmm. Versus maybe some of the other reactions we could have had to the situation, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. All of my kids have always worked. One of my kids started working when he was 14, but the other one started at 15. The other one started at 16. But, you know, I highly encourage that too. I mean, they were still participating in activities, still going to church, still doing their homeschooling, but they were also working. And I think what you touched on, teaching them financial principles in the home, teaching them how to budget, to give, to save, to spend, you know, what that looks like, because those are things that in school, they're not really taught those things. They're not really taught how to budget, how to plan. You know, we're teaching algebra and we're teaching geometry and all these things, but can you teach me how to budget? Can you teach me what it looks like to have these different bills and what it looks, what is debt? How do I avoid debt? What do I need to do in case I fall into debt? You know, what does it look like to adult, basically, adulting 101? Things that can prepare them outside of the scope of school and once they move out of the parents' home. And I think that is so important to be able to have a job so they can be able to manage money and see where money comes from. Money doesn't just come from mom and dad. Money comes from working hard because that's what we were born to do. We're born to work. We go to school and we go to school in order to learn, in order to get vocational skills, in order to do what? To go to work. That's the ultimate, we're going to work. And so, you know, that's the purpose of them going to school is to be able to learn what they need to learn in order to be able to work, in order to be contributing members of society is really what I want to say, contributing members of society. So I think that that right there is what it's all about. And that starts early on. And when you have an opportunity to make an impact and an imprint on them financially at a young age, that I think will carry them a lot further down the line.
Agreed. Well, and I think that financial education in general, there's a lot of people who shy away from having the conversations for a couple of reasons. One, they don't like to have the conversations because they're afraid they're wrong. Maybe they feel like they haven't made their own best financial decisions. And so how could they possibly give their children advice? But I will tell you that even when you don't feel like you know enough, number one, you have resources. There's things like this podcast, like all kinds of other things that are existing out there that can help you, right? Teach concepts, principles, things like that to your children. There's tons of different programs. The other thing is they think that it's not fun, right? Like money is not a fun conversation. Okay. Just like you were making the conversation that we were born to work. And a lot of people will say, oh, you know, work, like that's such a horrible word. Well, it doesn't have to be, right? Because if you're doing something that drives you, that has purpose, like I don't dread getting up every day and going to work. I'm not saying that there's every single meeting that I'm going into or every single thing that I'm handling. I'm like, woohoo, I'm so excited about this. That's not always the case. However, you know, you have to remember that these things don't necessarily have to hold that negative idea or connotation in your mind. You're placing that there. And so it is just so important. I mean, my girls, so my oldest are my stepdaughters, and they used to jokingly call driving in the car with me life lessons with Jacqueline. And the reason they called this is because every time we got in the car, we would talk about life and we would talk about money and working backwards. Because I would tell them, look, girls, and I mean this in earnest, like whatever you do with your lives, I'm totally good with it. As long as you got there intentionally, as long as you got there in a way that resonates with you, that yields you what you're looking for. But that doesn't just happen on accident. We don't just, you know, yes, like there is a certain level of manifesting of like asking for what we want, but also we need to see, okay, what are the steps behind that, right? Like, how do I help further this? And a lot of times people are not taking a look at that. And so I'm like, whatever path you take, I'm good with it. And I'm not saying your path's going to be perfect. You can have this idea and you can have all the steps in place. And then sometimes life just lives. And
yes.
COVID happens, or, you know, you get really sick, or whatever the case may be, right? That crops up in life, but we still have to have an intention. I mean, even people who talk about manifestation and talk about, you know, the stuff, the reason they're doing that is because they have intent, right? That is what's driving behind, because you're allowing your body, your brain, or all of your systems to see and push towards that, right?
Yes.
If we're not creating that in our children, we're doing them a disservice. Because yep. they're not going to turn 18 and a rock is not going to just fall out of the sky and bong yeah. them on the head and say, hey, guess what? Here's how you adult. Like, yeah, this is right. what happens with money and this is what happens with this, right? I mean, why is it that some of you are listening to this podcast trying to figure out what you're doing with your kids aren't quite all the way there yourself? Well, that's because, you know, not only did maybe your parents not teach you or only teach you a very limited amount, but some of it, even if your parents gave you the best information on the planet, I mean, I tell this story all the time. My mom made me read Sound Mind Investing in seventh freaking grade. Okay. Like, I had the information about money. I knew yeah. how it worked. I still had to figure it out, a lot of it on my own. Right. Yeah, like just yeah. while life lifed, if you will.
Yeah. What's that saying? Something about the teacher arrives when the student is ready.
Yes.
And, you know, you can read it in seventh grade, but it doesn't apply to you at that time. You may have right. the information, but you're like, why do I need this? But as you age, you realize, okay, how that applies, and you'll be able to take that information and put it into practice.
Yes, because the information's there, but if you're mm-hmm. not providing it, right? I mean, mm-hmm. let's be real. Nobody else, unfortunately, in our schools and that, and I'm a big advocate for trying to help teach some of these practical financial related things. It's why I am a mentor for a group that literally goes into high school and teaches kids in relation to money and all the things, because I am very awesome. Passionate about it. I want to ensure that the next generation has the information. What you do with it, and then I need you to hear this, what you do with it is your decision. Right?
Yes.
If you want to live in a van for the rest of your life, traveling around the country because that's what drives you and you love that, that is awesome, right? Like, if that's where you're supposed to be in life, like, that's okay. And if you want to live in a 40,000 square foot mansion, right? And like throw massive parties, and if that's what your life needs to look like, also great, right? Your version of financial mastery is totally different than mine, and that's okay. But we're going to get there on an intentional path. And I've loved this conversation. I love like just chatting, especially about education specifically, because I really do feel like it's the foundation for any sort of mastery, be it financial sure. and or otherwise, right? No matter what kind of mastery you're seeking, I guess, in life. Mm-hmm. I think that you have a sort of a resource that they can maybe email you and get. We'll kind of close out by you kind of giving us last thoughts on that.
Okay. Yeah, actually I do. I have a resource. They can email me at team@godspurposeinaction.com. That's team@godspurposeinaction.com. And it is really a free resource to get a practical guide to helping your graduate on their next steps, how you can help your graduate, because not everyone is ready to go off to a university, and what you can do to guide that graduate into their next phase of life. And so that's what that is, just a practical guide to be able to help them on those next phases of life. You talked about work and how it doesn't always have to be happy, but there's a difference between toiling and working. And the toil, it makes it hard. But when you're working and you're, like you said, doing something that's purposeful, I think that is where the magic is. And by purposeful, it can be something, whether it's cleaning toilets, the people who were cleaning the toilets for the people on the going onto the spaceship. I mean, they're like, we are helping people to put, you know, people up into space or put a man on the moon, whatever the case may be. And so your work, whatever it is purposeful, because it has an impact on people. How you view your work, it may be something else. The only thing I can say too, a tidbit to help people is not to compare. I like the fact that you said whether you want to live in a van or in a 10,000 square foot mansion, whatever the case may be, don't compare yourself to others, because when you're intentional for your path, it may look different than someone else's. And I think that is something that parents can do to instill in their kids, because when they have siblings, they may be comparing one another to. Everyone may go on different paths, or they may be comparing their child to someone else's child. And so just assuring them that they are special, who they are and what they know and what they have to offer to the world, and it doesn't have to look the same as someone else.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And whereas you offer like the graduation thing, we actually also offer something that is more about having conversations about money, right? Like in this next phase of life, if we're looking to do university, like how are we having conversations surrounding money, right? Who's paying? Have we chatted about that? Because from my perspective, a lot of parents are not having those conversations, and they should be, because the goal for sending kids to school, right, if that's the path that they choose to take, is to go down the traditional 4-year university path, which is, you know, which is perfectly fine. We need to have a conversation, because we're not trying to strap loads and loads of debt on any person, right? Be it the parents or the child, or split, because that's not necessarily a great place to begin a journey in a life, is feeling like you're 10 steps behind, right? And so we also offer a free resource, because it is important to have these conversations, because if you're not talking about it and you're not having conversations, there's going to be stress, resentment, like all kinds of things are going to build. And there, like, to your point, there's options, there's choices, right? Nothing, they don't, you know, you don't ever, not everything has to look the same. And so it's so important for people to understand and realize. Well, thank you so much. You're definitely allowed to come on again. I mean, we could talk all day when it comes to education and money and all of the things, which is why I loved having Angela on. And so hopefully this episode of Financial Mastery Simplified was helpful for you, and we will see you again next week.
All right. Thanks so much.